Morning, everyone. Thank you for reminding us about Evan and Chelsea and just importance to join them in prayer and possibly also even partnering with them financially. We're praying for them and blessed by the good work they are doing for the gospel. So after last Sunday's message, I am trying my best to get to a lot of the meeting requests and that is a real blessing. And once again, if I don't know your name and I'm trying to fake it and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, don't be embarrassed. Hey, my name is ta-ta-ta-ta again, and I think it's very important that a shepherd knows their sheep, and that's something that we're continually working on. So here we go. I wanted to share this morning a message from Psalm 63. As we prepare to start a new year together, many of you are joining us more recently, or this might be your first Sunday, and so I wanted to take a little bit of time to speed you up on aspects of who we are as a church and a little bit of our vision. And so I've titled this message, Pursuing God, a Vision for a New Year, that comes out of Psalm 63, which is a beautiful heart cry from a man named David as he found himself in dire straits in a wilderness in fear of his own life. And so we'll look at the first four verses of this morning. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. A psalm of David. In 2018, I shared not only my love for our church and the Lord and this new vision, but also for Chick-fil-A, right? And so they really got to start to pay me for their endorsements. But it was while eating at Chick-fil-A that a fresh new vision came to me, eating those overly salty and a little bit burnt waffle fries. And it was this that I've shared with us since. Pursue God and his passion for people. And any vision needs to be simple enough that even my young 7-year-old son could be able to spit it out in the middle of the night if I were to wake him up at 3 a.m. James, what's the vision of our church? 4 words, pursue God, pursue people. And there you go, as simple as that. And so during this past year in particular, we have talked about the impact COVID has had on us and where we are as a church after 130 years of wonderful, vibrant gospel ministry here in Manchester and beyond. And we began to shift our focus of how important it is as we not only rebuild our church, but we must pursue new people and new generations in a new and different spirit. We can't just do the same old, and expect different results, just like you in your lives, in your workplaces, in your families. And we were reminded in the book Unstuck Church that any organization that doesn't focus on reaching new people has already started to decline, and it will eventually die. And for some reason, God, in his grace and love for this faith community and for Manchester, has allowed us to have over a century of ministry here in Manchester. And now you have this Korean-American pastor from Chicago, and we're rebuilding together, and good things are happening. And so we have spent quite a bit of time in the past year or two talking about pursuing people. And so we did a study a few summers back, The Art of Neighboring, What If Jesus Meant to Love Our Literal Neighbors as Ourself. And a lot of us jumped on the bandwagon of greeting neighbors and bringing cookies and cakes and inviting them over, and that was a tremendous opportunity for us all. And I guess we pause and ask, how has that spirit and those actions and that conviction been going? Are we still trying to build bridges and get to know the people who live across the street in our own neighborhoods that we've lived, some of us 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years? And so we've talked a lot about that, about pursuing people, not just saying we love everyone, but actually doing something about it. And Kathy and I, over these past several years, past several months, have continued to try our best to love on our neighbors. We had two families literally across the street and to our side over for a 4 or 5 hour dinner before the holidays. We have another family that we are reaching out to coming over tonight. I got to break out the grill and get some steaks on and have a chance to get to know and love our neighbors. So how's that been going? What if Jesus meant to literally love our literal neighbors? And so this is not to put a guilt trip on anyone, but just kind of going back to our vision of pursuing people. And we've also talked about not only really being Jesus in our communities and loving our even physical literal neighbors on our street, but the importance of us growing younger. So we spent some time studying this as a congregation, as our leadership went through growing young. Young people infuse congregations with energy and intensity, and healthy churches will reach young people, and young people make churches healthier. If your church is reaching 20-year-olds, Carol Powell says, your church will reach 60-year-old people as well. And the problem is that we are kind of frozen in time in our minds, and we still think we're 20 or 30 or 40 something, or maybe we think we're 60 something, when in fact we have all grown older. And even as I have a chance to interact with different pastoral colleagues, I realize now that I'm no longer the young buck anymore, the young gun, but now, my goodness, they, excuse me, sir, and who are you talking to? Oh, me! We have switched places, and now I'm one of the older guys. And so it's very hard to shift that mentality because we think we're a lot younger than we are, but every year that passes by, Father Time marches upon us. And so that intentionality of reaching new people, growing younger, so we've talked all about that. And as we begin this new year, I want us to refocus on our vision. In the past 5 years, we've spent a lot of time talking about how do we pursue people, how do we reach out to our neighbors, how do we grow younger as a congregation. And those things are extremely important. It's a huge part of my heart. Whenever there's an opportunity to reach out to new people, even recently getting a haircut, do you have a church to go to? Would you like to come to our Christmas service? Always an opportunity that God gives to us to reach out to people, to invite, to love, to pray. It's a huge part of my heart, and so many of yours as well, as through Hope for 10 and so many of our ministries and through individual lives, we are doing that. But as we sit here at the beginning of this year, I want us to be reminded that as we look at this psalm that we just read, here we have a heart cry of a man named David. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And look at verses 2 and 3. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. I think verse 3 is key to what David is pouring out his heart when he's in dire straits, when hope seems lost, when he's going through a time of great pain and wondering, where is God? Because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. In the midst of these past couple of years of talking about pursuing people, I want us together to be reminded how critically important it is to pursue God. Because if you think about our vision statement to pursue God and his passion for people, it's his passion that changes our stubborn, selfish, self-focused, lazy hearts to have a heart like his. And I include myself in that every day. It is with his heart, his passion, his love, his character that our pursuing of people takes place. And I feel in some ways that as we've talked so much about pursuing people in new ways and new generations and a new spirit and all those things, and we need to continually do that, we need to do it out of a life that is consumed with God's passion, not just our own. Why, Pastor? Because my passion is conditional. My passion is weak. My passion is inconsistent. My passion is self-seeking. And my passion is imperfect. And the only way by which we can move forward in this vision that God has given to us in the midst of pursuing precious people whom God loves so much, it is to do it through the power of his passion. A passion that reminds us that we have a God who is constantly running after us. Not so that he could punish us or yell at us or scream at us like I know I often do when I was chasing my kids around the house last night trying to get them to bed so they wouldn't miss church. Chase them into Ella's room and then they scream, destination, the bonus room, and they all run to the bonus room and then to mommy and daddy's room, and I'm literally chasing them around the house. We did it for like an hour. It was crazy. Can't do that too much anymore. My knees are hurting now. But God chases us in order that he can embrace us, that he can love us and welcome us daily to his beloved family. This has always been the heart of Jesus and of his ministry. Today salvation has come to this house, Jesus says, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. God pursues us with this passion because often our passion is imperfect, it is weak. And we are so good at getting lost and hijacking our own lives. We are our worst enemies. We're constantly getting in trouble. We are in desperate need, and we don't go to the one who can truly rescue us and help us. We hide among the trees. We blame others. We don't run to him, but we pursue other things, lesser things to keep us busy so that we don't have to go back to him. That is my reality. That is my daily challenge, and that is yours as well. So God actively pursues us because why? We belong to him. We often forget about that until we are found in his embrace once again. The gospel is for those who are alienated, who are estranged, who are wanderers, who are hiding. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I tell you, the longer that some of us are professing Christians, the better we are at hiding. It was Francis Thompson, coming from a well-to-do English family, whose family wanted him to be a physician, and eventually found himself living on the streets of London in absolute state of destitution, addicted to opium, failing in health, who eventually would die of tuberculosis, but shortly before his death, confessed and realized that it wasn't that he was running from the pain of the story of his life or the circumstances that were ultimately making him so miserable, but rather he was running away from God. And so he penned that famous poem called one of the greatest ode to the in the English language, Hound of Heaven. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind and in the mist of tears. I hid from him and under running laughter of vested hopes I sped and shot. Precipitated. And it goes on, it's a magnificent poem describing the hound of heaven who always sniffs us out and finds us and pursues us that he can embrace us and welcome us back home. It is this relentless pursuit that takes place over the course of the many years of our lifetimes. It is almost scary. We run from God. We avoid going to church and stay away from other Christians. And then we get invited back by a family member, a friend. We get stuck with a roommate who loves Jesus. And we get stuck with people that are praying for us and remind us, I'm praying for you every day. Please stop praying for me. I love you and I'm going to be praying for you. And God sends his servants, his children along into our lives. We bump into Christians at work. We bump into them and the messages of Christ on the radio, through the internet. We get invited to go to church, and here we are today. God is a pursuing God. Thank God. And like the psalmist, Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I love what the ESV study notes say. There is nowhere in the universe God will not be present to lead hold the believer, and nowhere too dark for God to see him. He pursues us because we belong to him. We are the objects of his greatest desire, love, and affection. God pursues us not because he needs us. He pursues us not to control us or to take away our freedoms or make us miserable or wanting us to feel guilty about our choices, our lives, our sins. But he wants to show us how to really live in a world that he so desperately loves, full of beauty and potential and mystery, to show us what it means to really be human and to live fully into the imago Dei, the image of God, and to stop trading in our high calling to represent and serve God in this world for something lesser and temporary, to once again be reminded that we are citizens of his kingdom. We are his forever beloved sons and daughters, and he longs to embrace us and welcome us home. It is when we experience that on a daily basis in our lives that it is his passion that transforms us. And it is that passion and that love by which we go out and pursue others in our lives, not just in our own strength, our giftedness, our experiences, or our knowledge. And so this new year, let us pursue God in order that we would experience his passion for us in this world. And as we do that, as we pursue God, we will inevitably be drawn back to his word and to his body, the church, as we go out together into the world. A.W. Tozer, in a powerful book called The Pursuit of God, wrote, "The world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for want of his presence." Like the great prophet Isaiah, in these ancient words, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." As we do that together and experience his passion together once again, we will be able to live out our greater vision and story, that Trinity Covenant Church will be a church for our city that pursues God and his passion for people through a gospel movement starting in Manchester, right here, our surrounding communities, and then the world. I need help pursue God in my own life. I've already missed prayer times and struggled and lost my temper and doubted God. Already it hasn't been 1 month of the new year and I've already failed multiple times. And so have you. As we pursue God, as we experience his love, his passion, let us do it together as a church family. And as we do that, his passion will flow through us to our families, to our neighbors, to our communities, and to the world. This is my hope and prayer for all of us as we pursue God and His passion for people. Let's pray together. God has spoken to anyone here this morning, that you realize that this hound of heaven is after you. Not to condemn you, not to make your life miserable or control you or take away your freedoms, but to set you free. Would you be willing to be found today? Pray with me, Lord. I have been running, and you have been pursuing me all my life. I want to return back to you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. Remind me of your passion shown in the person of Jesus, who bled and died for me on that cross, that I could return back to you as a new creation with new hopes and dreams, to be cleansed and become righteous, to be called a son and daughter of the Most High God. I want to come back to you today. And our prayer, Father, as Trinity Covenant Church, as we engage in people in need through our many, many ministries and in our own individual efforts and loving our neighbors and friends and fellow co-workers, oh, Lord, help us not to do it in the strength of our own passion and gifts and love, because it is indeed weak and imperfect. May we encounter you in a fresh way in this new year together, to pursue you because you first pursued us. Renew our love. Renew our passion. May it be your passion by which we pursue people in our lives. We give you thanks and honor and glory that you've not given up on us. We pray that as we pursue you, that we would find your passion propelling us forward to pursue people that you love and long for. We give you thanks, honor, and glory for this time at the beginning of this new year. We look forward to the ways in which you will change us. May we feel and sense your unconditional embrace over our lives because of Jesus, in whose name we pray.